Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like...
Fuera!
Hello, hello, hello.
Kesho.
Just here, living my best life. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm just busier than ever. I thought, we're in quarantine, I'm a chill. No, because there's just everything. Todo se maneja por medio de correos electrónicos for emails. So, like, there's a storm of emails every fucking day. It's crazy. But, you know, that's good. I still get paid. Bless. I can't complain. So everything is good.
You want to know something?
Tell me.
I understand that we're all in isolation right now and that this is what we have to do. By the way, you're welcome, everybody. We put out an episode every week this month.
Right.
And we're going to continue to this whole month because we know, I know how important a routine is, and just having something come out every Thursday is important. And a lot of listeners have reached out and thanked us for that. So that's why we're doing this for you in April, guys. But I mean, folks, I'm so sorry. But listen, I understand a lot of artists are losing their jobs and all these museums want to do like virtual tours. But let me just tell you something, okay? Nobody fucking cares. Nobody is looking at your virtual museum tour. I'm so sorry. Social media, museums that do social media, cultural institutions, arts organizations, instead of wasting people's times, why don't you take a little bit of money from your funding and say, hey, so-and-so artist, here's a couple bucks. Here's $250. Here's $100. Will you make a 5-minute video doing a tutorial and we could throw it on our YouTube? You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
That
yes.
would be content that is not only giving an artist a few bucks to maybe buy some food, help them pay their rent, but it's also maybe creating more content that's innovative, that's actually creative for the person doing it. Ain't nobody want to see you talking about the same damn paintings over and over again and you're... Okay, I'm going to calm down. Sorry.
You're about to read those fucking outfits.
If you have emailed me in the past month asking me to do a virtual studio visit or a tour of this or that, I was very polite in my email, but in my head, I was thinking, I don't want you in my fucking house. Get out of my house, okay? Because as I discussed on a past episode, I think I did anyway, I am a secret introvert, and I don't want anybody in my house. I don't want anybody in my fucking fridge without asking, okay? All right, so... That being said... I'm glad you're doing well, Babelito. I'm actually also thriving over here. I mean, as much as I can. Remember, we're trying to keep this positive. Okay, that was for me. I was saying that to myself. But what I will say is that, you know, we are very privileged. We have big families and the food is abundant in our homes. And I know that you have been cooking so much, Babelito. What have you been up to? Tell me.
Actually, right before we started over here, I'm recording, we did a list, a Microsoft Excel sheet of...
brand queen.
Of the meals that we're going to have, because we're trying to avoid going out like more than once a week if we don't have to, right? So we did an spreadsheet of 2 meals a day for 7 people. 7 or 5? I don't know. Something like that. And
how come episode you don't know how many people are in your fucking house?
Right.
Just count them next time.
I mean, it's last time
it was 4 or 5. Now we're up to 7?
I think who it's five. I think
what's going on? Who was pregnant?
Uno, dos, tres. I mean, conmigo somos 7. You're absolutely right. But yes.
Wow.
So
it's like the Chicano 7th heaven over there.
Oh my God, it's interesting.
I heard he does
I'm
shit
tempted
on this,
huh? I'm tempted to record everybody's experience because we are going for a 2-week here and we're running out of ideas. We, again, as I said, I'm busy, so, but...
Running out of ideas?
Of what? Things to do.
You need
do.
To interview... That whole family is so funny. You need to interview them. It could be a bonus episode
I'm going
for the
to.
Patreon.
I'm going to.
That family's so funny.
Dude, I'm Oprah over here. I'm actually having them do... We're all going to read a book.
Oprah, cálmate, güey, okay?
We're going to read a book, so we have a
book
club.
You're going to read American Dirt? Is that what you're going to do?
No, dude.
Oh, my God.
Ethical Oprah. It's different.
Okay.
but anyway, I can talk about that later in another episode, maybe the next episode. Anyway, but we've been cooking a lot of stuff, but it's Cuaresma. And for those of you who don't know Cuaresma is, this is like the 40 days leading to Easter. And... I don't know if it's just Catholicos or just Catholicos Latinos, but on Fridays, you don't cook meat. So
it's a Catholic thing, bro. It's called Lent.
It's red. I don't know. It's red. Just red meat. Porque muchos dicen, no, pues comemos pollo, como si fuera algo diferente. Right? But they eat fish. So I'm going to make fish tacos, beer batter fish tacos. But my suegra just cooked some delicious lentil soup. And let me tell you, I am not a fan of the legumes, but I love these lentils because le pone zanahoria, le pone papa, and then on the side as she is boiling the lentils, she cooks cebolla, ajo, se me está haciendo agua la boca, cilantro, y chile, and then lo sofríe todo, and then she adds it to the soup, and then puré de tomate encima, and cooks it with just salt. No le pone nada más, güey. Nada más sal, y con la sal y con el cilantro. You get such a good flavor, man. So I had a quick plato de lentejas before we started the podcast. But we're going to cook caldo de res. We're going to cook tortitas de camarón, which are my ultimate fucking favorite food in Cuaresma. Have you ever had tortitas de camarón?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Like shrimp cakes?
Yeah.
Is that?
No. It's not like
how
actual.
Are they?
So, the way that you can buy the powder already that you just mix with egg whites. But the way that, I mean, if you want to make it as a scratch, you have to, tuestas los camarones hasta que they're dry. And then you actually, not blend, pero como, like, make it into a powder. You make that, the camarón, and also rice flour. And then you mix it all. And then you make little bolitas with the actual egg whites. And then you get little tortitas off of that. And then you add una salsa roja. Bitch. And you have to be careful because los camarones ya son salados porque son del mar, güey. So you don't have to add a lot of salt. But when they're done good, and con nopales, speaking of... I guess vegetarian. No, it's not vegetarian. Yes, it's so fucking good. That's my favorite Cuaresma food.
That sounds so good.
It's so amazing.
Oh,
I'm going to send you a link to Maria Tavares' video of how she makes it because she makes them the best.
My goodness.
Pero tú qué show? ¿Tú qué estás comiendo?
Well, you know, I went to the grocery store a little while ago and I went on the first of the month, and I think I have enough food for like 2 months because
for the end of the world,
girl, for real, I will eat anything. So like, I literally bought the world's largest thing of potatoes, and like, I'm good. I'll eat a baked potato when I run out of food every day. Like, I don't care. But the interesting thing was, I was slowly running out of food before that, and I felt like I was in survival mode, you know. And now that I have more time to kind of sit here and think about like my relationship to food.
Right.
It's really interesting because after I went to the grocery store and I got enough food to fill the pantry, fill the cupboards, fill the fridge, the freezer, and I even have leftover food that I put in. My grandma has like a makeshift pantry in the garage with like non-perishables. I filled that up because she was supposed to come back to the country already, but Mexico is actually taking this seriously, which is really surprising.
Hallelujah.
And they canceled my grandma's travel, which we were all relieved because She thinks we're playing over here. She still thinks we're playing over here. Like, we're making this shit up, and we're like, no, girl, like, we're seriously, none of us have seen each other either. So just, if you stay in your little pueblo, at least you can go to church and, like, hang out with your friends over there, you know?
Right.
But she just misses being over here, I think, you know? But, which I totally understand. But that being said, so there's enough food for her, because I didn't want to leave her with the empty house. Because, you know, as soon as my grandma got here, I was going to leave because I want to be able to, like, go outside. So I've been thinking about, like, how after I went to the grocery store, I haven't wanted to eat anything. Like, I lost my appetite. And it's just because I have that security. Like, oh, I'm fine. And it comes from growing up with savage brothers who, anytime there was, like, good food in the fridge, they would, like,
set that mean.
They would devour it. Or they would, like, chug whatever drink was in the fridge, you know? So it was this, like, competition growing up. And I'm in my 30s, and I could tell that I still have that, like, animal instinct that, like, when I see something, like, oh, I need to get it before my brothers get to it, you know?
And chingas esconder la comida.
I know. I'm here by myself now. So I actually was like, yesterday, I wasn't even hungry. And I was like, well, I have to eat something today. So I made nachos. And girl, I'm going to tell you about these nachos on the next episode. Cliffhanger!
Stupid!
Because we have listener letters to get to, okay?
Okay.
So we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to get to the listener letters.
Sounds good.
Babelitex, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm here excited to talk about opportunities to support this podcast through, I was going to say PayPal, to Patreon.
Yeah, Patreon and PayPal. If you go to latinoswholunch.com/donate, you can find out all about it. We have different tiers on Patreon. You could be our amiga, our comadre, our madrina, and you could read all about the different levels and what you get at patreon.com/latinoswholunch, or again, go to latinoswholunch/donate. There's so many links, and we'll put them in the show description. That's what I sound like right now.
Sure.
Anyway, we want to keep giving people shout outs, so we're gonna give a big shout out to all of our amigas right now.
Let's do it. So why don't we start with Celeste H. Celeste, thank you so much.
Thank you so much to Erika J.
Carla Frias, muchas, muchas gracias.
Angelica, thank you.
Christine H., te lo agradecemos mucho, amiga.
Mari, you're the one.
Come on.
And then also, we want to thank our friends Bob and Daniel S.
Thank you so much for your support to everybody who is helping us to make this podcast continue, especially this month, since we're trying to come out every single week. Muchísimas, muchísimas gracias a todas las amigas, las comadres, las madrinas y los que vienen.
Aleluya.
Amen.
Okay, let's get to the letters. Do you want to go first or do you want me to?
You can go first.
Okay. First letter's from Agustin. It says, Yeka Rosales parody of Yalitza Aparicio. That's the title. I already say no, whatever the question is. Hi, Fabi Fav and Babelito. Can we talk about Yeka Rosales' parody of Yalitza Aparicio?
Nope.
It seems so tone deaf. Not to mention that she sold us out for an awkward laugh and a buck. Although I'm also in favor of not giving Yeka any more publicity than she already received, because I had never heard of her until this unfortunate incident. I very much appreciate your insight, your loyal listener, Agustin. Do you know what he's talking about, or they are talking about?
Yes, I know exactly who. What are they talking about. And no, I don't give a fuck who Yeka is, and we can move on.
Okay, yeah. Yeka, you fucking suck. Okay, next.
Chinga tu madre. Alexandria, Mexicans and Mexican Americans, the forgotten dead in Texas history. Ooh, I like this title. Okay. Hello.
Come on, dead.
Since listening to your podcast, I have learned so much about the Spanish influence on Mexican culture. I recently came across the article below about racism in Texas and how much is owed to the bravery of Spanish explorers who roamed Texas. And that's a quote. Can you please enlighten some of us on the truth of this story? I'm a Midwestern, but my entire family is from Texas. Real, we didn't cross the border. The border crossed us, people. So I'm very curious as to the truth in this story or how I can learn more, other than two books referenced in the article below. Mexican and Mexican Americans, the Forgotten Dead in Texas History from the San Antonio Express News. Thanks, Alexandria.
I'll put that in the description of the podcast and the show notes on the website. Wara wara la cuchara. Okay, Babs, what do you think about this question? What is it? Can you please enlighten some of us on the truth of this story?
Right. So this is truth. There's a lot of untold history of the way that Mexicans have been treated in throughout the country, but specifically in Texas. And if you refer back to our episode, to our interview with our friend Annette Rodriguez, which is episode 142, she tells you all about it. And I'm referencing this episode because Annette is actual scholar that looks into the imagery in the history, in the archival history. She spent years looking into this archives of the history of the way that Mexicans have been lynched. And if you listen to that episode, lynching doesn't mean just hanging from a tree. It means so many different things. So again, refer to episode 142. And because she is a scholar that even though she deals with Native resistance, she deals with a lot of topics in relation to the early 20th century, her specialty or one of the things that she's working on is the way that Mexicans were lynched in Texas in the early 20th century. And that's reflected in movies and that's reflected in trials and laws, like just so many different things are affected by the way that Mexicans are treated because Mexicanos own Texas, like so much part of that, and just like the Californios in California. So there is a lot of history. And I was going through this article that the listener talked about, and the writer is like, oh, it is true. Texas has a little bit of a dark history. I'm like, bitch, Texas is all dark history. Like, it's so complicated. They're refusing to go by the laws of the suppression of slavery. They were some of the last ones to do that. Like, there's just so much fucked up history in Texas. So if you're from Texas and you don't know your history, why don't you start with episode 142? And she actually, Annette gives us a lot of recommendations of things to read and also of people that are actively denouncing some of these things on social media. So again, episode 142.
Awesome. Yeah, and you can just go on our website, check it out, check out all the links on our website. And Babelito also has a reading list on there. I'm sure some of your texts have a little bit of Texas history here and there.
Actually, I will add one of the books that Annette recommended to that list because it's an important, important book. So yes.
Yeah. Texas history, man. There's everything. That state is so massive. Just from me studying the Tex-Mex food that I love, because I did an art show about it a couple years ago now, it really is a really interesting state to really dive into. And I know that it's really unfortunate because a lot of the textbooks in Texas and the school system erase a lot of that history.
A lot of the Mexican presence, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Mexican Americans or straight up Mexicanos or, you know, Latinos also living in Texas are never taught their own history. And it is a disservice to everybody, but that's white supremacy, right? That's how it works.
Yes.
They erase our history, they erase our struggle, they normalize violence. Remember the Alamo. So it's really, but you can go see Pee Wee Herman's bike in the Alamo, so check it out.
That's the real history.
And that's tea, actually. So, yeah, I mean, it's so funny because I have now so many amazing friends in Texas because for some reason, because my art, there's a big reception there for my kind of artwork because it's about identity and a lot of institutions are hungry for that, you know, especially institutions that know what's up. So I've had shows pretty much in every major Texas city. And just to me, going to the different cities and seeing how different the culture is in Texas, right, in every city is very, very interesting. But I think it's also a geographical thing in Texas.
Yeah,
because everything's so spread, right?
Right. And I was going to say there's like a, I don't know, to me, the Southwest is home and part of Texas. Like, in a way, it's part of the Southwest. So I always think about when we had Podcasterio Fest and we immediately latch onto the Texas family, right? And but there's something about a regional identity that yeah, we have country borders, yeah, we have state borders, but there's something about like a region of the world that we all share. There's a lot of things that we share with people, with our brothers and sisters of Texas. So I totally get what you're saying.
Shout out to everybody in Texas, 214. Shout out to Houston. Shout out to the Rio Grande Valley. Shout out to the border. Shout out to the Panhandle. Shout out to West Texas. I love you all. I love you, Texas. Okay.
Okay, el que sigue, güey.
Oh, girl. Okay. This email is super long, so I think it would be fun if I read a paragraph and then you read the next one. And I already edited this down, bitch, just so you know. Okay?
Oh, my God. But this is a fucking Bible. Okay, let's do this.
I know, but I will read it on the principle that it is a well-written email, and I really appreciate that. Even though, Adan, this is your life story, we're still going to read it, okay? Because guess what, Mimi? You use punctuation, and that's my kink. Okay, here we go. Adan, identity immigrant.
Here okay, we go.
Strap in, folks. You're in for a ride.
It's going to be a bumpy night.
Hello, my name is Adan. I'm a student at University of North Carolina at Charlotte. Shout out to North Carolina. I have recently been having trouble with the word immigrant and the powerful meaning it holds for a lot of people, such as my mother and many other people who come to the U.S. seeking their own version of the American dream. Now, here's some background about me.
In 2010, I moved from Martinez de la Torre, Veracruz, Mexico, out to Asheville, North Carolina, at the age of 15. Quinceañera. I attended a program called Newcomers, which gathered kids from grades 8 to 12 and introduced them to the language and also gave work related to the school grades you were placed. Here I heard several of my classmates talk about the experience of crossing over the border and how some of them had to literally run for their life, or at least that's how it sounded. I was often troubled because I had nothing to share with them. I came to the U.S. on a plane and often felt guilty that I couldn't relate to them. At this point in my life, I wasn't really aware of the hassles that come with being undocumented.
I eventually graduated from the program and entered high school and was very excited to meet people and make new friends. And because I had many friends when I lived in beautiful Veracruz.
Well, this was not the case, as I was often ridiculed and made fun of by other Latinx kids in my school who often made fun of the fact that I didn't speak English, and had a funny Spanish accent, acento jarocho, a huevo. This made travel with my identity and often said, why are these kids being so nasty to me? Why, when they know so little about me, they talk as if they were important or similar to them? It is because I can't relate to the struggles of an undocumented immigrant, or is it because I was short, fat, and I had corte de hongo, or is it because they know I was in the closet?
This was something new to me, something I had never experienced in Mexico. But I learned to move forward and somehow ignored most of the kids and decided to make friends of my own. I started hanging out with the white kids. And if you know something about Asheville, you know that it's predominantly white, and Latinx communities are something that are just now coming out.
I graduated high school in 2013. I'm so old. Along with many of the kids that once made fun of me. I continue on to college at the University of North Carolina in Asheville, where I plan on obtaining a Bachelor of Science in Cell and Molecular Biology because I was determined on becoming a doctor and nothing was going to stop me. But I didn't do so hot and ended dropping out after my first semester.
I then started working in healthcare, in an adult addiction and psychiatric inpatient unit. I worked there for almost 2 years and then moved to a different hospital, where I worked as an emergency room technician at a level 2 trauma center. At this point, I had almost forgotten about all those kids who made fun of me until I encountered one of them. Uh-oh. And was told that I was very privileged to have a job that paid me good. Oh, girl. And then, while it finally hit me, I was privileged and didn't even know I was. Come on.
I realized of simple things such as driver's license, health insurance, and the privilege to drop out of school so I could find what my calling really was. I was shocked, and the feeling of not fitting in with most Latinx people around me came back. I was troubled to the fact that if anyone went through my contacts, all you could see was names such as James, Ashley, Scott, John, etc. I was truly disconnected.
I know Latinos all name that, so that doesn't mean anything. Go ahead.
Right. I was truly disconnected from my Latinx identity and knew only what I grew up with. I didn't even know who the Mexican president was at the time. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed because this whole time I identified as an immigrant and linked my problems to that. But it wasn't the fact that I was from Mexico or that I had only lived in the U.S. for so many years.
So I made the decision to go back to school, but I wasn't going to go back to UNC Asheville. I was going to move somewhere where there were more people like me. I want to go where the Chicanos are. I want to go where they have elotes. I want to go where the tortas have birria. I just made that up. He didn't write that. Sorry. I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, only a few hours away, but definitely a more diverse environment. And not only did I find more Latinx people, I also found my queer Latinx people. And I was so happy to find more people who were not straight or white.
Now, the more I dig into this whole identity battle I have with myself, the more I believe I don't fit into the whole quote-unquote immigrant ideal that society tells you. I never had to struggle with my legal status. My mother didn't either. I had so many opportunities many wanted but couldn't have. But the fact is that I am an immigrant, but only by the definition of the word itself, and should not use that excuse for my advantage because it is not mine to use.
I had a discussion with a friend of mine where I told her that I didn't identify as an immigrant simply because I have so many privileges. And I told her she did too. We didn't agree with each other's argument. I told her I don't have the struggle of an immigrant, but I do have struggles of being a minority and a gay male, and yeah, which are completely different. What are your thoughts on the whole telenovela of mine? And sorry that it's all over the place. I had nothing planned for this email. Girl, seems like you had a whole fucking chapter of a book planned. Okay, thank you, Adan. Okay, Babelito, what do you think?
Hijo su pinche madre.
Let me laugh for a quick second.
Stupid.
Ay, ay, ay.
Just culeros, wey.
This is so cruel. I'm not laughing at you, Adan. I'm laughing at the fact that tickled me so much. No disrespect. No disrespect to you. I just haven't laughed in a long time. So this is really helping me out. And oh my God, that was so rude. I don't know what to do, you guys. I'm just mean. I'm so sorry.
A ver, ¿por dónde empezamos, güey?
Okay. Where do we start? Okay,
this is the thing that raises a red flag to me.
Yeah.
When people out there keep recognizing their privilege. Recognizing your privilege doesn't do shit, right? Just saying that you're privileged and saying it over and over again to make yourself feel better doesn't do shit. However, how do you use your privilege to the advantage and progress of your communities It's a whole different thing. But I don't see none of that here. It's very personal, and I understand that people need to be personal and you need an outlet to escape. That completely, I get it. But you mention it so much that guess what, Mimi? Your privilege definitely, definitely shows. Again, what the fuck is Latinx identity? What the fuck is immigrant identity? What the fuck is undocumented immigrant identity? Just because it's trendy, just because, you know, you see it all over social media, doesn't mean that it's something that you had to grasp, or, you know, that you have to deal with, you know? Like, that's the thing, man. Visibility, it's such an important thing, but it's like a double-headed snake. It confuses people that we feel like we have to identify. Like this is not the fucking victimhood Olympics. Like, come on,
that's what,
man.
I was gonna say, bitch. Our immigrant story doesn't have to be the trauma Olympics. Guess what, Mimi? Pretty much most... I just want to let Gemma know that I'm going crazy.
Go for it.
I just want to let you know that most immigrants that are in the United States came here in airplanes. So your immigrant story is the immigrant story. Like, it is most of America's immigrant story. So I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it's North Carolina, man. being around that environment. I don't know, man. I don't understand.
No,
I don't understand.
I get it because I understand because, okay, so a lot of my family came here crossing the border. My family came here on visas, but it's like I have a lot of family member also that came over here with coyotes and stuff, you know? So I know, I've heard those stories that Adan is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really traumatic. And that's something that is our reality to a lot of our families. I have a couple of tios that crossed over like that and primos. And I understand what he's talking about because you can see how that experience completely changes that person's attitude,
right,
and the way that they navigate the world in the United States, basically. And in my experience from seeing my tios and cousins, it breaks them and it makes them... And mentally, I think it puts them in a different state of mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are surrounded by a lot of people where that trauma and those stories are part of their everyday, of how their parents treat them, you know, yes, of course, it's going to change their identity and those people are going to relate to each other. But
that's them.
That's them. And that's not to say that you're an immigrant. So I don't know why... First of all, I don't know why you have to identify as an immigrant. We're all immigrants in this country, except for Native Americans and the Mexicans that the Mexicans at the border crossed, right? So it's like it's this almost fetishization, you know what I'm talking about, of that trauma,
of the trauma,
right? Or like this romanticization of that trauma that to me is very disturbing. To me is why one of the reasons that I do not like border art, because it capitalizes on,
yes,
that.
Yes, and I was gonna say that, like, remember how in maybe two episodes ago we talked about it and I said, well, this is our fucking fault for just creating the same type of icons. Well, that's what happens when we put our trauma in the foreground of all of our cultural production, right? And it's not that that's the only thing that we're doing here in this country, is that this country is only able to hear those parts of our stories. So there is a lot of artists that's all they make. They make trauma art, and it's all about that. And I can name you a few, but you know, like I'm not going to. But the reality is that there's a lot of people making a lot of really cool shit and a really amazing stuff that has to do it's about a lot of different things, not just that trauma of being an immigrant and crossing the border and being undocumented. There's all kinds of different stories. The problem is that this country is only able to see that part because that will make people feel better about themselves. That's why empathy is such a fucking horrible thing. And people are like, what do you mean you don't empathize? It's not about empathizing or not empathizing. It's about that when we empathize with these types of stories, it doesn't do anything to us. It's just for themselves, you know? Like when we're like, oh, I feel sorry for this. It's white tears. And that's what it is. If this type of art, if Latino art doesn't create white tears, it's almost like it gets erased. So that's exactly what's happening to you, man. What's happening is that you have only been able to see what probably North Carolina has been able to offer you, and it doesn't fit your identity. Doesn't mean that you need to fit into that. Like, use your privilege for something positive. It sounds like you have a really cool career and you are helping people, so continue to do that and don't worry about this fucking bullshit. It's annoying.
You know, I'm going to relate this to experiences that I've had with this very same story. I am an artist that shows in museums, that shows in cultural institutions, and more than once, many times, I have been asked about my immigrant story, not in a direct way, which is very shady and fucked up, but in a way where I can tell that curators or, you know, organizers are trying to get me to tell them about my trauma so that they could put it in an artist statement, so that they can so that they can tell other curators about it, because unfortunately, after Trompito was elected, that became hot to have Latinos in an institution so that white institutions could show, like, look, we care about Mexicans, we care about Latinos, we care about Central Americans, we have them here crying in our museums,
right?
You know, and so they want those tears to validate their programming, to show them that they're empathetic towards these communities. And so when I saw that that was happening to me, because I fell for it, let me tell you, I fell for it. Now I take my privilege and I turn it, so just imagine me holding a mirror up to my face. And whenever they ask me questions like that, I just turn the mirror on themselves, right? On the curator. And so my mom did cross the border here with all my tías and tíos packed in a fucking truck. Like, it was really traumatic, okay? I'm not going to say it wasn't, but it wasn't as hard as many, many people. But when people ask me about my parents and how they crossed the border, because estos descarados no tienen nada de pinche vergüenza or tact, they will ask you straight up about that. I say, oh, yeah, let me tell you about my mom's immigrant story. She went to the airport, got on an airplane, and flew here, American Airlines. Next question. And when I tell curators or people that, the look on their face is fucking priceless, because then they're lost. They don't know what else to ask me, because in their heads, all I was trauma. All I was a sob story for their members, for their museum members, for their board. So for their board of trustees, so that they can feel better about their white guilt.
And that's exactly what we mentioned when we talk about authenticity. They need to authenticate themselves. They need to authenticate their fucking fantasies about what an immigrant story is supposed to be. And when you fulfill that, they actually are so fucking smart that they make money off of you. So do not allow them to do that. And when you don't fulfill that,
are making money off of your trauma, bitch.
Right. And when you don't authenticate that fucking trauma, when you don't authenticate that fantasy that they have of you, they don't fucking know what to do. So play with that, because I also do that, and it is fun to do that. I actually, this is not my experience, so I'm not going to go into detail, but my husband had an interview with a big museum institution, and I'm not going to even say where, because it's going to be so obvious. But they're putting together this program to highlight Latino histories, blah, 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 blah. And they keep asking me, well, tell us, what do you think all Latinos have in common? And I I can tell the curator wanted more like, you know, like we all like to dance and we're all happy, or like we all have traumas or whatever. And he's just like, fucked up ways of identifying through our nations. But no, but tell us more. How are Latinos similar? It's like, I don't know, like the weird patriotism that we all have. Like he kept denying those fucking answers. He kept denying those fantasies that these people had over all Latinos, and finally they gave up and they move into a completely different question. That's what you have to do, because otherwise these people are going to keep making money off of me. And again, the trauma of others should not be your identity. Move on, men. Keep working,
yes.
Keep studying, and move fucking on.
But I think this is also a question of like confidence in your own identity, because when you recognize your privilege, that feeling is overwhelming sometimes, and I understand that feeling. So your automatic response is to make up for it in some way, and maybe your way is to reject the immigrant label because you don't relate to it, or you don't want to disrespect the people that did go through that traumatizing experience of crossing the border. And I'm doing that in quotes, you know, because mm-hmm. everybody's experience is different.
Correct.
And I also don't want to minimize those experiences because I have a lot of undocumented friends.
No, and that's not at all what we're saying. No, that's not what we're saying.
Those experiences are very true, very valid, very fucked up. And that definitely shapes the kind of person that you are. And it's really important to also share those stories and talk about those stories. Shout out to all of our docu queers that we know, especially in LA, like Yosimar Reyes, we had on the show, who turns it around and charges people. Like, he jokes about it, but he's not really joking. He's really doing it.
Right.
He's charging people for his trauma. He charges people for his tears, $100, $200 a tear if they want him to cry on camera. You know what I mean? He's making that money too, bitch. So that being said, I understand you don't relate to that trauma, but also now that you have the privilege to understand the multi-dimensions of Latinidad, like, your story is valid. Your immigrant story is valid. It's a real thing that happened, and you can talk about it. And guess what? Now that you're privileged, you know what you have to do sometimes is you just have to shut your mouth and just listen and not argue with... Maybe not argue with your friends that find a lot of pride in their immigrant story, because that's something that's really important to them, okay? And so I can see how your friend who thinks of you rejecting that identity as offensive, I can see their perspective on it. But also know that you're an immigrant. Like, it's okay. Ay, Dios mío. It's very complicated. And... thanks for the laughs, Adan. Okay, next.
So write it down, bitch. Episode 151, Latinos Who Lunch, dedicated to you, like 15 fucking minutes talking about privilege. Take it all in and moving on.
Now, title of episode, Listener Letters, episode
4,
dedicated to Adan the Immigrant.
El siguiente okay. correo es de Diana. Lo leo yo, ¿verdad?
Yeah,
the title is Hi. Oh, okay. I already love this. Hi, Babelito and Fabi. You both give me so much life and get me through 9 to 5. As I am at my 9 to 5 right now, hi AF. I finally... oh, what a respite. I finally thought of a question to ask LWL. Here she is. Do you think there is a reason Latinx mom señoras despise Jenny Rivera yet stand Alejandra Guzmán?
This is the questions we've been waiting for.
Oh my God, we love you so much, Diana. Also, what do you all think of Jenny Rivera, RIP? You guys should do an episode on icons like Jenny, Alejandra Guzmán, Gloria Trevi, and maybe even Laura León, LMAO. Okay, thank you again. Love you all. Love Diana. Diana, we love you.
What a great idea. Yeah, we got to do an episode like that in the future if we keep doing this show after the apocalypse. So
what do you think of Jenny Rivera? You know, I'm going to be 100% honest. I wasn't I never got into Jenny Rivera, but every time I was in the car with my mom, she was listening to a radio show, and I always fucking loved that. But literally, that is my only point of contact. Like, I never engaged with the music. I know mi tía, tengo una tía que estaba obsesionada con ella, and I always thought that was funny. But I never had anything negative or anything positive. I never really knew who she was, so I'm not going to be one of those fucking queens who get on board after somebody dies, you know? So, I don't know.
Now, I'm going to do something that sucks, but I just want to hear what you think about this, because I don't like when people do this, but I'm going to do it because I'm a hypocrite. Okay, so, you know how people are like, you know, Juan Gabriel, Elton John is the equivalent of Juan Gabriel, you know, like within Latino culture, like things like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which isn't really fair to say because Juan Gabriel is Juan Gabriel, right? But I always thought of Alejandra Guzman as kind of like a rock and rollera, right?
Correct.
Like, and so when I was little, I would actually confuse Alejandra Guzman with Pat Benatar. And so
yes,
I thought
I can
they were
we.
Like, Pat Benatar? You don't know who Pat Benatar is?
Mm-mm.
You're the right kind of sinner to release my inner fantasy. You know that song?
Nope.
I'm a heartbreaker.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Come on.
See the comparison. Okay.
Right, because they kind of had the same look. So I always like, oh, that's the Latina Pat Benatar. That's what I always thought. And so I think that Jenny Rivera, I can't really find an equivalent for Jenny Rivera because she's so unique. And I think the reason that a lot of moms might be offended by her is because dice lo que le da la gana, you know? And
yeah,
she's sexy and she's kind of crass. And Alejandra Guzman is like edgy too, but she's edgy in a more commercial way. Would you
agree?
I mean,
they're both super commercial, but Alejandra Guzman was a product, definitely. She never seemed genuine, not to this day. Mm-mm.
See, that's what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jenny, I feel like everybody secretly, even the conservative católicas, love Jenny Rivera, but they can't admit to it because she talks about drinking a lot and sex and whatever, you know?
I think a better comparison, because I remember when I was a kid, I was a Gloria Trevi queen, and all of my friends were into Alejandra Guzman, because Alejandra Guzman, it was more like the perfect product. She was dangerous enough, but not crossing. There's like a psychoanalysis term that when you see something dangerous, you just want to stare at it. But you don't want it to stare back at you because then that becomes traumatic, right? So when you just
What's the
like,
term?
Ay, no me acuerdo, güey. But it's the idea. Oh, okay. It's almost like a taboo thing. They're like, es lo que hacen los gringos cuando van a México, güey. They want to go to the dangerous areas. Like, it's sexy enough. It's attractive enough to go to those poor places, you know, because they want to consume that fucking fantasy. But the second something happens to them and their story ends up on Fox News or CNN, that's when it becomes traumatic, right? So I think that's what it was with Alejandra Guzman. Alejandra Guzman was just edgy enough. And Gloria Trevi crossed that line. And people threw so much shade at Gloria Trevi at the beginning, even though she also was a fucking product and the story is so fucked up. But I see more of those parallels because by the time Jenny Rivera, Alejandra who? Like, nobody, like, she stopped being relevant within 5 or 10 years, you know? So, and I think Jenny Rivera, it's also, it could be like the Gloria Trevi to her, to Jenny Rivera, that she not only is dangerous enough, she's very dangerous because she's honest. And honesty sometimes in popular Latino communities, it's taboo. And that's what it is, honesty.
Amen. Gloria sea al Señor. I believe that.
And yeah, we should definitely talk about Lara León. Have I told you the story that my friend has about Lara León?
No.
Oh my God, Yaremi, shout out Yaremi in Mexico City.
She's fucking but she's talking wild. About I can't wait for the story.
Oh my God, no. So I guess she was in an OXXO and she was just buying
stuff.
Oh my
stuff. God, I love OXXO. XXO, OXXO, vamos al OXXO.
Oh my God, so she was in an OXXO.
Oh my God, I love OXXO.
And all of a sudden she saw Laura León saliéndose de un coche, like coming out of a car, and yes. she goes directly into the freezers or whatever, los refrigeradores. She grabs a Corona, she opens it, and she goes glug 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 glug, and then boom, she puts it down in the counter and she goes, ahora sí, papacito, ¿cuánto te dejo? She was so fucking cruda, man.
No, bitch.
She goes, ahora sí, tesorito, ¿cuánto te debo?
Oh,
it's such a good story.
God.
I tell it almost like if it was my story.
Icon. You know what? Let's do a whole episode on Laura León because she's a fucking icon, bitch.
We have to have Luis. Luis is obsessed with Laura León.
Yes.
Remember when we saw Drag Queen and Mike is like, twist, that is Luis.
Oh, my God.
Ay, qué rico se sintió ese email, man.
Ay, qué rico. Me limpio con ese email. Okay.
Hasta lo saboreé. Okay.
Okay, one last question.
Te gusta. I mean, te gusta.
Me gusta, pero me asusta. Oh, God.
Su madre.
We're losing it. Okay, just one more real quick. Agustin. Oh, another Agustin. You know, my first best friend, his name was Agustin. I wonder how he's doing now. Write in. Ask lwlpod@gmail.com. Let me know how you're doing. Okay. Will you review Lowriders, the movie from 2017? Hi, guys. I was wondering if you could consider reviewing 2017 film called Lowriders. I'm interested to hear what you think. Agustin. Yeah, I'll watch it. Thanks for your question.
I saw the preview back in the day and I was like, yeah.
What?
So I don't think I'll be watching it.
Why?
I don't know. I remember watching it back in the day and being like, this is so fucking problematic already. I just remember thinking that.
Yeah, but you should watch like 10 minutes of it though and see what's up if it's on a streaming network.
Yeah.
You got to give things a chance. I always give things 15 minutes on Netflix, and if I am still watching, then I'll keep watching it.
I guess that's a good exercise.
You know what? I'm going to make a public service announcement right now. All you fucking people out there that aren't watching stuff because everybody likes it, and I get it. I used to be the same way too. But right now it's a time for all of us to come together and just
watch.
We are
the world.
Yeah. Just watch it. Just watch it. If all your friends are watching it and you're the fucking hipster in your group of friends that's like, I'm not going to watch Tiger King because everybody's watching it. Fuck you, okay, Mimi? Because we all want to talk about what the fuck is in Carol Baskin's septic tank, but you can't be part of the conversation because you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. It's okay. Sometimes it's okay to rejoice with your friends and talk shit about TV shows. So I know. That's why I always think Maite, because Maite watches so much fucking TV, I can be like, Maite, I want a show that has fat representation, queer representation, and a storyline about this, this, and this. And she's like, oh, here you go. Watch High Fidelity. You know, like, she'll just tell me a show. And
oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, we're running out of time. Let's take a little break, and we'll be back with quick recommendations. All right, it's time to give a shout out to a motherfucking madrina.
Let's do it, and let's start with Alejandra. Alejandra N. Muchísimas
not Alejandra
gracias.
G. Anna H. A. Thank you.
Annette R. We love you, and you know it.
Chris E. Hi.
Daisy Z. Muchísimas gracias.
Dora P.
Hillary N. Como siempre. Te amamos.
Indira H. E. Thank you.
Jessica A. Muchísimas gracias.
Jorge A. Thank you.
Madrina Luis R. Ya tú sabes.
Ya tú sabes, chico. María M. Thank you. R. M.
Miguel C. Muchísimas gracias.
Nancy M. M.
Natalia O. Oh, muchísimas gracias.
Roberto R. Gracias.
Rosaura, amiga. Te queremos, gracias.
All rice, no beans. It's Stephanie B.
And last but not least, Vanessa T. Muchísimas gracias.
Okay, that's it. Oh, yeah. Wait, I should probably say, sorry. I should probably say, yeah, you could be part of our LWL Patreon family and sign up on patreon.com/LatinosWhoLunch. Or if you want to do a one-time donation on the PayPal, you can go to LatinosWhoLunch/donate for all the links. Hey, thanks for coming back, cool cats and kittens. We're here on Latinos Who Lunch, and we're going to do some recommendations. Go ahead, Babs.
That is right. So I want to talk a little bit about this trend that started happening maybe a couple of years ago, but now everybody's doing it, which is, to me, is kind of annoying, but it completely makes sense given the short attention span that we all have with all kinds of social media platforms and everything, and the availability that we have to music. So bands and artists are starting to release albums en pedacitos, en cachitos. So it used to be that an artist released a single, maybe two singles, and then boom, the whole album. But because there's so much music, so much availability to music everywhere, and I'm thinking that Spotify fucked everything up, but at the same time made everything so accessible and available, artists are releasing albums in like EPs. So you will have an EP of three songs, and then an EP of four, an EP of two songs, and then they will put the whole album together, or just that. And that's exactly what a lot of Latino bands are doing. I've been waiting for Lido Pimienta's new album, and she keeps releasing single after single. I think she's released like four or five singles now, and I'm just like, ya, cabrona, sácalo todo. But she hasn't. So one of those people that are and they're open about it, they're releasing their disco en cachitos, is Rubio. And shout out to Pat from the Colores Radio, because she loves Rubio, and Rubio just came out with what is going to be part of the big album. And Rubio, it's an artist from Chile. Her name is Franz Straube, and recently she came out with this EP called La Perdida. And La Perdida, it's pop, ambient, and techno pop, a mixture of a lot of those things. She has like a very distinctive voice. She makes really, really fucking wonderful music. Her last album was also amazing. And prior to La Perdida, she released two singles, Pájaro Azul and Ir. So again, you can go to any platform and listen to those singles, Pájaro Azul and Ir. But La Perdida, which is an EP, and I believe it's five songs, that gives you an idea of how the whole entire album it is. Again, the name of the artist is Rubio, and the name of the album is called La Perdida, No Se Lo Pierdan. ¿Y tú qué me tienes guardado?
Well, I have actually been finding a lot of new TikTokers. So I downloaded TikTok a long time ago, but I didn't really go on it for a long time because I'm like, oh, I'm a millennial, I'm too old, I don't know what the fuck is happening. And that's mostly still true. But I noticed how racist TikTok is and how fatphobic it is. So now I'm trying to like follow the opposite of what TikTok is recommending. And let me tell you, for weeks now, I've been liking and following brown people, Latinos, Central Americans, more black creators that actually create all these dances that the TikTokers are doing. So whenever I see a TikTok dance, I try to trace it back to the original person and follow them. And not so it's this whole thing where I'm just trying to change the algorithm. There's also a lot of faggotry happening on TikTok, which I really, really enjoy. So thank you for that. Even the whites are putting out really gay shit that's good. So thank you. So I'm really trying to create a network with my friends who like TikTok, and we keep sending each other videos, different TikTokers that are posting content that isn't like your average, like same four or five songs that are popular and everybody does the same dumb shit. So anyway, all that to say is that my favorite TikTokers right now are old ladies or women that
señoras, güey, señoras, dilo.
Señoras that make food and just talk to you about what they're doing and show you they don't really show you the recipes. They just like show you what they made at dinner. And so let me name a few of them right now. My favorite is this lady. Her name is Jacalitos. It's Jacalitos. And she's this lady, I think she's a grandmother who lives with her grandkids and her daughter. And like the last TikTok she put out, she was making masa from scratch, like your suegra says. Like she was doing
this
the whole
scratch.
She was doing the whole like nixtamal process, and then put it through the molino, and then she made the tortillas. And she's just so sweet. And she just cares about her family so much. And so her husband's on it. She calls her su viejito. And he's gardening, and there's chickens. They live somewhere in California, I think, just based on their backyard and stuff. But I follow her, so look her up. And also at Savi19, S-A-B-I-E-19. She's actually really mean to her kids, but I find a lot of comfort in that. There's this one where she like makes picadillo and makes like fresh tortillas de harina. And she's like, aquí estoy en mi cocina. Les acabo de hacer comida a mis hijos. ¿Qué piensas de este? She's like, ¿Qué piensas de lo que hice, mija? And the daughter's like, oh, I don't think I'm going to eat that. Can I order some pizza? She's like, pues si no quieres comer mi comida, come mierda, hija de... So she just starts going off. It reminds me of my mom. It's really beautiful. And then there's this other one that's a little bit more like commercial white Tina. Her name is Jenny Martinez with 3 Z's. I love her. There's also a younger person. She's a Salvadoreña. Her name is Gabs... oh, shit. I forgot what her name is. Gabs, B-A-T-R-E-S, I think. And she just started doing a bunch of pupusa videos of her mom making pupusas from scratch. So there's so many options out there. If you're on TikTok and you're a listener to this podcast, please look through it and find the people that are doing cool shit that you relate to. Change the algorithm.
Right.
Watch cool shit. I feel like all my TikTok now is now POCs doing cool shit or just like sharing times with their families during this. And yeah, call out these fucking TikTokers who are like, again, colonizing our fucking social media platforms, you know, the best way that they can, by just not recognizing what they're doing, which is so fucking annoying. There's this one TikToker who just like posts receipts. They're like, here's the original. Here's this white person doing it mediocrely. And he does like a split screen. I love all these people calling these fuckers out, making money. Again, making money from our trauma. Why? Why? Because that's what they know how to do. Okay. Okay. Are you done?
I am done. I just want to say thank you to Diana again for that beautiful email.
Yeah. So refreshing. Me gusta andar de pelo suelto también. Okay. As always, you can follow us at Latinos Who Lunch on all social media platforms. If you want to write us a letter or leave us a voice memo and attach it to an email, we'll play it on our next listener letter podcast. We're catching up, so we're almost current with our listener letters, which is really exciting. You can email us at asklwlpod@gmail.com. That's asklwlpod@gmail.com, and we might read your letters on a future episode, and I'll try not to laugh. Shout out to Adan. All right, please follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe, rate us 5 stars.
5 stars solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are, and
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters, people.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega, with production assistance from Maite Sosa. The music you're hearing in the background now is by the band Brownout. I'm Favi Fav.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao, charochi.